Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, we're covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.
Amen, 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 hallelujah, all praises to the Most High God of Israel. We want to thank each and every last one of you for tuning in, and welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters and Job Israel of Come and See Ministries Bible Study Class, and also of the Commonwealth of Israel. And today, we are dealing with spiritual warfare. Well, this kind of warfare, most of us don't see it as warfare. We think it's what we call everyday life, you know, just everyday life. You know, it's something we see every day, and so it can't be a spiritual warfare because everybody doing it, you know. Everybody got some kind of part in it, I guess. I don't know. But it's this spirit, man, you know, of haughtiness that's among the women, and it's loaded with pride, and it started in the garden when the enemy deceived them at the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And when he deceived them at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he also deceived the entire creation at the exact same time at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And here's the thing, we're going to get prayed in. We're going to ask our brothers and sisters, if you can, uncover your heads. And sisters, if you can, cover your heads as we approach the Father. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and give them to a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen. So, what is this? Well, we've been dealing with the spiritual warfare from different perspectives. And this is a perspective we have yet to investigate. And that is the spirit that's on women. You know, a lot of us think attitude and being smart mouth and obnoxious, you know, is cute, sexy, you know, a little spicy, a little flavor, right? Well, let's see what the Bible got to say about that. This is that a Holy Spirit that our women is entertaining when it comes to that. Because I don't think we take it in to know that we are entertaining the spirit just to be there. In order for us, and let me reiterate that, in order for our women to be in that state of mind, they have to entertain a lot to get there. And they got to bypass a lot to stay there. So a lot of us aren't looking at this thing like it's a bad thing, but the truth be told, it's really bad. And so much now, you know, women want to be charging black men for running off and finding strangers and stuff like that, you know. But when he was at home, you didn't make it a home. And to be challenged and insulted and all this type of stuff, you know. And hey, ain't nobody called for that. But we think it's cute. You know, you can't handle all this woman. No, it ain't that. It's just that, you know, I don't think anybody want to be around somebody that's contentious and want to be confrontational on every little aspect. When it comes to the food, hey, let's eat this. No, let's eat that. Let's go here. No, let's go there. Okay. Well, I'm thinking of this school for the children. Nah, I already got a school picked out. Wow. And you don't ever want to hear this conversation. Yeah, me and my mama already talked about it. Really? You don't never want to hear that one. What else? You know, just a lot of those little idioticies. And we tend to think that, you know, it's cute, sexy. The women definitely think it's cute and sexy, especially the lesbians. They think that's cute and sexy. You know, because if you're acting like that, you're not acting like a woman of God. You're acting like something else that's not a God. And that's dangerous. And so most lesbians and of that nature, they enjoy to see the women go down this road because they can be had. If I pump you full of pride, I can turn your life upside down. So to say, I could turn you away from your husband, or I could turn you away from your whatever. You know, and have people thinking that, you know, it's okay to be gay. All because you're in a house with two obnoxious women that's pretending to be in a relationship, a healthy one, a healthy relationship, right? Pretending to be in a healthy relationship. Now, you know, it's really difficult to reason how healthy a relationship is. So just children. So this is healthy, you know. Two women living together, one playing like a man, right? Acting like a man in front of the child. This is healthy. Acting like something that they're not, which is a lie, but this is healthy. According to the 21st century world at large, this is healthy. You know, I got a real problem with that whole demo, or any demo, any man being with another man, a woman being with another woman. I think it's all confusion. Every day you wake up, you're reminded of what you are. Every day we wake up, we're reminded of what we are, because the first thing we have to do is to do what? Go relieve ourselves, right? So if we go and relieve ourselves, we got to go to the washroom and pay attention to what we are. So God made it where we are without excuse. Whatever we can create in our minds that, you know, homosexuality is reasoning. The word of God is opposed to all of that. Most homosexuals do not go to church because most preachers teach against it. And if they do find a church, well, it's usually ran by a sodomite, you know, that's okay with it, okay with that lifestyle. And they're not going to teach against it because, well, that's not what they're there for. They're there to perpetuate the lie that someone else is already in. And it's a lie. And so right now what's happening is because of the shift, right? We have more women now on the earth than men. And women are turning to themselves. They're turning to themselves, and they are starting developing relationships with one another in the name of love, right? In the name of love, and love is truth. So that's impossible that can be in the name of love, because love is 100% truth. And there's no way you can stand before love knowing that neither one of you is a man or could play the part of a man. I mean, we have to have a real deep imagination, right, to entertain a strap-on or something. You know, that's what type of imagination you got to have to say that that's reason. Or is that mental illness, you know, mental illness? And I could see a strap on for somebody who'd been in war, got they parts blew off, stuff like that. I get, but for a woman to go in and to play the part of a man, that's ultimate confusion. And so we're gonna get into all of these things, man. We wanna tap into these things. Why? Because we're still dealing with spirits, man. We're still dealing with devils. And we got to be careful of that, right? So let's get this started. Let's start this in Genesis chapter 3:1. Genesis 3:1. And this is where it began, right? Genesis 3:1 for the woman. You know, we're not talking about the man today. We've been dealing with his madness all the while with these foul spirits and whatnot. So we're dealing with the women madness right now. And it says this. It says, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field, which God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, you shall not eat of every fruit tree of the garden, of every tree of the garden? Well, that's the first thing the enemy is going to try to do, is cast doubt on the word of God. That's the first thing it's going to do, is cast doubt upon the word of God for you and have you believe that it's not the word of God, or the truth can be altered. Okay. Thing it says here, it says, and the woman said unto the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Some of us believe that this is a physical tree. I'm looking at it, and the serpent is talking, and he's asked a question about the tree, and she directed attention toward the tree in the midst of the garden, which let me know that this isn't the serpent, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is a literal tree, just like you got a tree of life. This is a literal tree. However, it's something to this tree. He said the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's kind of like Pandora's box. You know, once she opened up that box, all hell break loose. Well, this tree is similar to that. So he's talking to the woman. Nope. Adam been on the earth all this time. How come he haven't addressed Adam? Maybe he has and found that he could not get to Adam. So he went to the woman. And we have to recognize that the scripture said we have to dwell with our wives according to knowledge as the weaker vessel. Well, this is part of that knowledge, that we recognize that she is the weaker vessel here. So it says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not touch it, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Man been dying ever since. What? You thought because he said he shall not surely die? Huh? Because he said he shall not surely die? Is that what this is? You kidding me? This is that day. So now, you got a problem here. Hold on, I gotta do my do not disturb thing. Amen. Okay. Now we got a problem here. Now you have a problem with not surely dying. What do you mean? Because you knew that there was going to be a resurrection and that you wouldn't surely? Yes, you are, because there's a thing called a second death. He was speaking way past this one. And the enemy was speaking in the light of what there is a resurrection. But there's a second death that he knew about too. He knew about the second death. And he knew the judgment of it. And he said, when a woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So now they ate of the fruit. Sin is in the world, right? So let's get right into this. Let's skip down to verse 15. It says, I will put enmity. No, this verse 14, because he's talking to the serpent. Because Eve just told her, she just gave the goods. He said, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this as thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thy go, and dust shall thy eat all the days of thy life. Now, he just gave him a time window, because man is not going to be flesh and blood all times. Dust thou shall return. Well, dust is coming out of the earth. So when the dust stands up and becomes spirit, that's the end of his being, because there won't be any more dust to eat. So he gave him a time window. The day that he turned this man into God, and he will, and he gonna know it. The day he do that, that's when he goes into the lake of fire. This is all simultaneous. So it says this. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. This is that thing. So this right here is when sin entered into Eve. We haven't talked to Adam yet. He's telling her what's about to happen to her. Once he's done talking to her, it's done. So the first thing you want to do is look up. He said, I'm on to the woman. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. So let's look up these two terms here. It's three terms here. And one is greatly, all right? So let's look at that. Very large in size, extent, intensity, a larger size than others. So she's going to have more issues than any man. Her issues is way past us. No. She got more issues. And this is when she became that weaker vessel. And this is when we have to dwell with her according to knowledge, because these are spirits that the Lord said that was going to come upon her. One is, I will greatly multiply. He said, very large in size, intensity, larger size than others, similar forms, larger quantity or numbers, extensive in time and distance. What? So she gonna go through these feelings or emotional trips a long time than us. Remember now, this is spiritual. Now, what if she don't know about these things? What if she don't know about Genesis 3:16, and she just operating out of her life? And these things come up on her, and now she done went from man to man to man because they see this up on her. They like, man, I can't deal with that. She got too many issues, Jack. She heavy. She heavy. Erica Badu called you a bag lady. But that's not it. That's not how you get delivered from being a bag lady. How you get delivered is looking at this and then understanding it, receiving it, the other thing, as comparable for the sins that we committed, and then also accepting the punishment thereof, then he will deal with us according to knowledge. So he said this, he said, I will greatly multiply, let's look at this, so greatly, it says superiority, quantity, or character. Sorrow. I'm going to greatly multiply the quantity of your sorrow, remarkable, outstanding, magnitude, degree, extent. Your sorrow is going to be on blast. This is the spirit. This is what he put on the woman after the garden. Imminent. This is used as an intensive or a certain adjective. Well, we'll just move on from that. Let's go into multiply, right? So we know that greatly means long distance, more than someone else's, right? So let's look at multiply. Let's see, I'm going to greatly multiply. Yep, multiply. It says this. I'm going to greatly increase the amount or numbers and the degrees of your sorrow. I don't know how a woman get through her train of thought. I guess because, one, she is born in it, and she's been reckoning in it ever since she's been a little girl. But this right here tells me that a woman has a lot of issues. He said, to increase the amount, numbers, or degrees of... Synonyms, increase. Mathematics, to perform multiplications on. So he's performing multiplications on sorrow. Then he said, and I'm going to greatly multiply. That means, and not only are they going to be more than norm, the norm, but they're going to be huge. And for a long time, he said, long distances. To grow in amount, numbers, or degree. To increase in numbers by responding. In many or multiple ways. In many ways. So he said, so it's not going to be just one-dimensional when he decide to approach a woman in this mindset. He said he's going to come at her in a lot of ways. And so it's for us to dwell with them according to, now, and I ain't talking about some woman that know that she's being wicked, running out with other men and stuff like that. That's different. That's a whole different conversation. That's not weakness. That's wickedness. And you ain't gonna get in front of God talking about, oh Lord, you can forgive me for that. I just had a moment. You know, like, right. No, it don't work like that. That's not weakness. That's called presumptuous and willful. So that's a whole nother conversation. You're not dealing with weakness there. You're dealing with a wicked person. This here, he said, I'm going to greatly multiply. He said, whatever her situation is, whatever she's going through, it's going to be worse than yours, Adam. This is why Adam can have a home and it can be worth billions of dollars. It can be worth millions of dollars. It can be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, it could be really, really beautiful, have cars and servants and stuff like that. And she's still tripping. She's still tripping. So this is that thing. I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrows. Now, what is this sorrow that he's referring to? Let's look at that. Because this is a mindset. Like I said, this is spiritual warfare. So this is the mindset. So women have to prepare themselves that they are, at some point of time, going to face these spirits. I mean, those of us, our women that have put control on this thing, man, God bless you, you know. God bless you. Just God bless you. But not all the women got control of this, man. Not this year, not this Genesis 3:16. This is a doozy. On top of the curse that's in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Israelite women have to deal with this. And they watching their men leave the house or their marriages in droves. And they having pity parties amongst each other, calling them divorce parties. You know, like they just came up, but you know, your house is destroyed. You know, why? You didn't cheat. What was the problem? You know, had to have the last word. You always got to have the last word. Is that necessary? Is it necessary that you always have to have the last word? The other thing is this, where is his honor or reverence as honor God? I think that's missing big time. You know, we talk about Nabal like, you know, he the poster child for, you know, all the Israelites that's wicked in the world or that's doing wrong to their woman and all this old type of madness. No, he's not. He is an example that God will, if you're in a way and you speak against the Lord's anointing. Remember, David was blessed, man. Samuel already told him he was going to be king. So technically, he's the Lord anointed. You ain't supposed to put your mouth on this dude. He did. He did. So the Lord killed him. Same thing with that dude, Samuel. He was cursing David and throwing rocks and all that type of stuff. And the Lord killed them too. You're not supposed to touch the Lord's anointed or do his prophets any harm. This is something that women, wives here, that don't really understand that conversation, don't have a problem going. You know, like, she could be married to a T.D. Jakes and still be and they feelings about something that's to maybe T.D. Jakes. Something that ain't even worth arguing over. Something that a man will walk out the door about, you know. If it's not life-threatening, you know, if it's not one of the children in trouble or something like that,
most reasonable men to try to leave a house and be like, I'm out. You can deal with that garbage by yourself, you know. And when you're ready to talk, we'll talk. But I ain't finna argue you about something that's not going anywhere. That's what a man to do. He'll be out. Then you got these sisters that are standing at the door and instigate a situation, and here come the fuzz, and next thing you know, when they show up, somebody going, and the dude is trying to leave. Sour. Let's look at this. I'm just saying this is bad, man. This is a real bad thing. And it's perpetuating this. And we don't have a problem with it because we think it's cute, you know. For whatever reason, Jerry Springer has taught women to be obnoxious lesbian. I'm gonna say Jerry Springer introduced that spirit to the women to be obnoxious lesbian. You know, but anyway, what else is it saying? Mental suffering caused by loss. So he said, I'm going to greatly multiply. So I'm going to expand this mental suffering, and I'm going to enlarge this mental suffering, and I'm going to make it long, this mental suffering. And then he said, I'm going to multiply it. I'm going to bring it in so many different ways. It said mental suffering caused by loss. Loss of what? Righteousness? Huh. That's what happened when we lose righteousness. Yes? I guess it would because we start falling off into what? Reprobate? No, I'm not saying all women is reprobate. I'm saying that when you sin against God, take a chance on losing the fruits of the Spirit. Disappointment, misfortune, or an instant of this. Source of sorrow, fortune, expression of sorrows, or instance of this. So this guy comes in a house, kids all in private school, built school paid up for the next 2 years, tuition and everything. Uniforms is all done, and, you know, he's got the house in order. He got the house together, bills all covered, money in the bank, both checking and savings and 401 intact. Three-car garage, four cars in the garage. Clothes, everything, right? And a servant, you know, to come and clean and cook, right? So what is it that this woman have a problem with that she can find when all of her needs are being met? Now, some of us will say, well, if all of her needs would be met, then she wouldn't be saying anything. Well, not necessarily true, because there's a such thing as Genesis 3:16. And that's for you to recognize, and that's for you to realize that when that spirit tries to come upon you, and it will, you have to rebuke it, not him. You can entertain it while he's trying to rebuke it, and it'll get worse on you because you're holding on to it. Instead of calling on God to rebuke that thing. Not after the fact. All hell broke loose. Y'all done got into the worst kind of fight you could have got into. And, well, the relationship is in smithereens. Well, that's too late. You know, this is what we call preventive maintenance. You know, what we're saying is that if we dwell with our wives according to knowledge, we can see this. This is the brothers. And women, that if you allow us to rule over you as according to the scriptures, then maybe we can call upon God to release that spirit that's on you if you allow us to rule over you. if you don't allow us to rule over you and you full of your pride, then of course that Genesis 3:16 is going to be bigger than you ever imagined. It's going to run through you. It's going to run through the children and the grandchildren. When you entertain this spirit, we start talking third and fourth generations. Think about this. This is a generational curse here. This is generational. Now, the only way to deal with this generational curse here, this is the first time you hear this, and it's generational. And the only way you deal with this is 100% humility. Because the day you see the spirit on you, it's the day that you go and you find some peace. And you call on the Lord and say, peace, be still. And I don't mean you get to be running your mouth for anything, anywhere. You calling on the Lord to free your mind. You're not being multitasking at this point. You need deliverance. So whatever's going on, it's time to stop and call upon the Lord and ask him to remove this spirit that's in Genesis 3:16 that he said that's going to be upon women. And it says this, sorrow. What else it says? It says, the characteristic of feeling of sadness, grief, regret associated with loss, bereavement, sympathy for another suffering or injury done, etc. Have we heard of things called pity parties? That's exactly what this is. You know, women getting around together, bashing, and, you know, ain't nothing proofful about it. You know, I'm going to bash my husband, you know, bash the children and bash my whole situation to women who don't have a husband or a house that a husband is actually going to work to take care of. Right. It says, and also called sorrowing, the outward expression of grief and sadness, you know, and it's an outward expression. It's not just inward, it's outward. So it's both physical and spiritual. The physical side is that we all can see it. The spiritual side is that it's affecting you and I. Right? It says, a distress caused by loss, disappointment, etc., grief, a cause or occasion of grief as misfortune, an expression of grief. Now, to feel or express sorrow or grief. Now, this is the thing, man. I'm not saying that you're not supposed to be sorry, but, you know, it's some things that we're just not sorry for. You know, some of us have sins that we just have not overcame or will not overcome or have no plans of overcoming. And that goes for sisters. You see, and these things cause sorrow and grief, you know, because technically, you was created to be a helpmeet, but this—if this getting the best of you, you can't be a helpmeet. If this is getting the best of you, it's impossible for you to be a helpmeet. Amen. I was going to look at some more. Okay, let's look at a couple of two more scriptures, two more. Synonyms on this: sadness, unhappiness, broken heart. Well, How many of y'all had broken hearts in high school with these so-called boyfriends that took your virginity and you somewhere crying the blues because you can't get it back? You lost it forever. Right? That's if you really cared about your virginity. Some of us or some of our women were just loose. I ain't going to say sludge. I say loose ever since they was in high school. And they didn't care whether they lost their virginity or not. It wasn't something that they valued. Something to be valued until, well, years down the line, and they're like, oh, my God, yeah, well, it makes sense. I should have stayed a virgin. I should have just waited until I got married. You know. But this is that thing. Broken heartedness, grief, heartache. Mournfulness, sorrowfulness, self-pity. So that's the other thing, self-pity. You know, so what's happening is that this spirit is causing a woman to focus on herself and her agonies and her pains instead of looking around, you know. Let's see. The act or state of pitying oneself, especially in extricating of oneself indulgent manner. So this is a pride thing. This is where pride creep in at, because he called it self-indulgent. So that's the entrance of pride. So you may never get over it. You may not get over this self-pity part. In fact, you may still be having a pity party, but now you got pride on it. You know, you done added pride to the cake. You know, you building this cake of self-pity and finding out that it's selfishness. It says the pity for oneself, especially a self-indulgent attitude concerning one's own difficulties. See? Selfishness. You know, but then what is this difficulties? Genesis 3:16, trying to deal with it, trying to get through with it. Right? Right. Amen. So let's look at this a little further. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, right? So now we got this word, conception. What is conception? Well, conception is, this is what he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. He added this to the mix. And it's this. It says, conception, formating or a variable zygote by union of a male sperm and a female ovum, fertilization. So women was going to have problems getting pregnant, right? Because that's what this is. It's the male sperm and the egg. And so he's saying that a woman is going to have problems getting pregnant. Make perfect sense to me. Saying that a woman, this is my little chair. Saying that a woman carries the eggs. There's even a thing when women get pregnant, since we're on this subject now. It's called postpartum. You know, the Gentiles, the Lord said, I'm enlarged they borders, man. So he even allowed them to name some of the devils that's out here, you know, like the ones that come on women that when they just got through having the child, and the spirit jumps on them, telling them they either flat, they breastfeed, they got stretch marks all over the place, they gained 500 pounds, they feed is all over the place, they look disgusting in a mirror to themselves. And a funny thing, most men who wife just had a child is not thinking about her weight. She can. That's okay. If you want to get out there and five in the morning, put your baby in that buggy and start running up and down the block, go get them. But don't stay home and then antagonize the house. Don't do that. You know, you can't do that because now you're being disruptive. And that's not what God called you to be. He didn't call you to be disruptive. He called you to be a help. So this is that thing. So what do you mean he called you to be a help? Because he said, you are help me, nothing less. You are help me, nothing less. You are help me toward the kingdom, which I don't know why people think that that's like a bad deal. You are help me toward the kingdom, but you need more status. I'm just tripping. You know what I mean? I'm just tripping on it, you know. The Lord is saying, you are going to be a help in the kingdom of God, and that isn't enough. To be the head, I need to be a pastor. I need to usurp authority from a man. I don't need to be up under a man because a man ain't got enough sense for me. I'm smarter than a man. Remember now, up under sorrow crept in self-pity. Self-pity introduced pride. So while somebody thinking they feel better, pride has entered in and is now home. So you may have gotten over the self-pity part now, but that pride is there. See? So this thing is really heavy. So it goes on. It says, what else it says about conception? It says this. It says, the ability to form or understand mental concepts and abstractions. This is why Arabians don't take their women education serious. You know. Oh no! This one guy said that an educated Arabian woman, or educated woman, period, to them is like humorous. It's like monkey on roller skate. Seriously, that's the kind of humor you see a woman with education is that she's a monkey on roller skates. But before sin came into the picture, she didn't have problems with conceiving or anything to that effect. Now she does. Now she does. Now she has a problem with conception because sin is now in the picture. It says, And this is why, you know, a lot of times a guy can talk to his friend about an idea that he got to, you know, for a business or something, and then go home and expect his wife to give him the same reception, and she start coming with 21 questions. Like, and where you going to get the money from? And who going to do this? And what about your job? And, you know. But we're going to do this. It's my plan. I know it's going to work. You're going to quit your job. And what about our insurance? Who's going to pay for our insurance? You know I need my medicine, you know, and stuff like that, man. So it's a lot, you know, going on that we don't take for granted, that we don't consider, you know, because we in the mix. But it's a lot going on, and you got to realize it's a spirit. These are spirits that are attacking the home. And it ain't just that we can sit up and say, yeah, the enemy is coming against my house. You know, like, you wearing that as a sleeve, a badge on your sleeve or something. Like, really? That's something I would be, like, kind of be shook about, you know. Yeah, if he's coming against your house, then why? And who opened the door? That's the other question. Who opened the door for the enemy to come in? Well, he came in because he's trying us all, and he doing this, and no, it didn't work like that. Nope. He had to be open. The door, he said, Jesus told us flat out. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If you open, I will come in. But if you don't open to come in for him, here come the devil. So somebody let him in. Right? It says, the ability to form and understand mental concepts and abstractions. Something conceived in a mind or believed by a group of people, a concept, thought, or belief. This is why a lot of time men, when we take our wives to rallies and such like that, and we explain it to them exactly what's going around us and the energy and such, you know, well, this is that. Because, you know, she have a conception problem. And it's nothing new to talk, laugh about. It's not funny. It's a serious spirit. And it gets in the way, you know, and it caused them to get frustrated because what they're trying to do is say something and it's not coming out the way they intended to. It says something conceived, notion, ideal, design, or plan. She planned to have a talk with you, but then it turned into an argument. It didn't come out the way she planned it, right? The description under which someone considers something wrong. The act or power of forming notions, ideas, or concepts. Well, you have women right now that's in the world producing things and such, but for the most part, that's not given to women. That's given to men for the most part. Not that a woman can't do it. You got to throw that out there because they'll be like, well, we can do it. You can. But there's a difference. There's a difference just like it is a difference in greatly and multiplying and sorrows. I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrows according to who? Adams. According to who? Your husband. He's not going to be feeling what you're feeling when you're feeling it. He might have just came off the court and he just ran three floors, however you want to say it. He just ran three of them. Now he's celebrating. He's on fire. His squad is hot. And he come in the house and house full of, you know, cars hooked up, armor all up. He got his guys and everybody coming in for a beer. There it is. Genesis 3:16. And the first thing coming to his mouth is, what's wrong? And here's the thing, when you know we're in trouble. When she say, you should know. Wait a minute, man. Even the God of Israel said, no man can read another man's mind. So how am I going to know what's ailing you, woman folk? But mind you, this can go on in front of his friends. But see, when the spirit hits, this Genesis 3:16, it's a tough row. And it can have a real godly woman in a real bad way. It can take her from serving God. In fact, it can take her out of the place of serving God, place of serving the devil. And I'm talking about a godly woman. All because, one, this one verse, and two, the power of pride kicked in. And I know y'all saying, well, what pride got to do with it? Well, Job chapter 41, it says this when it comes to pride. And he said, in fact, he didn't say nothing. God said it. This is what God said about pride. Job chapter 41 and verse 32. And he said, he maketh a path to shine after him, the deep to be hoary. Upon the earth, there is none. There is, upon the earth, there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is king over all the children of God. That's a devil, or a devil. But for the most part, this is the devil. And so when we have any self-pity parties, we open the doors to the devil. A lot of times you just got to shake that self-pity party, man. As soon as it hit, you got to get rid of it. Because you can see this door is become able to get out of control. Let's go back to that Genesis chapter 3 and 16. And let's see, what else is there? And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow shall I bring forth children. So now here come your children in sorrow. There's a lot of scriptures pertaining to that. You know, like this woman whose son was cursing in the camp. Well, he got stoned. That was a bad day for her because her child died because he was not a bright child. He gonna blaspheme God in the congregation on the Sabbath, right? They put him up. They locked him up. Asked the Lord what we should do. He said, stone him. He was stoned, her sorrow kicked in. Yeah. That's how it worked. You got wicked children, they suffer wicked consequences. There's nothing we can do about it. We got wicked children, they hurting people, taking people's lives, causing grief, then they end up paying for it. That's part of this conversation. You got a child out here. You've been trying to tell him about God and God in Christ, right? You've been trying to say this dude or her, as long as there's been breath in them, as long as you've been changing them, you've been praying over them. And as soon as they got old enough, they started performing wickedness. They started performing wickedness. And then they get to the point now, they shooting at people and killing other people's children who are innocent to their causes, you know. I'm shooting down this street because I know it's a bunch of stones on this street. I'm shooting down this street because I know it's a lot of gangsters on this street. But today, there isn't any gangsters on the street. And today, there aren't any stones on the street. You're shooting at women and children. So, what happens? A child is accidentally killed. Here comes the sorrow. And the man or the boy that did the shooting, his mother to grieve with the idea that she's about to lose her son forever. And if he was in Texas, he'd be facing capital punishment. You know, death by the electric chair or hanging, lethal injection. You know. There's another one out there firing squads, but I don't think anybody choosing that one no more. I guess that's just too much like what you did, right? Shooting people, but why would you have a whole bunch of people shooting at you? But that's that sorrow that he said that she would bring forth. You know. Let's look at this a little further. What else it says? It says, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply that sorrow, that conception, in sorrow shall I bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, your desire is not to God, but to your husband. And a lot of women got problems with that. Like, they got to say so. Actually, you don't. Anybody told you you do, they're lying to you. You don't have a choice in that. Because the law said right here, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, not to me. That's the law. So you'll look for him before you look for God. I'm just saying. I mean, when we think about it and we look at it for what it's worth, that's exactly what it ends up to be. That your desires is to your husband. You know, you're not looking for God to come back at 4 or 5 in the afternoon. You're looking for your husband to get off from work at 4 or 5 in the afternoon. If those children been bad, you're not looking for God to come down from heaven to discipline them. You're looking for your husband to discipline them. This is that thing. So it's easy to sit up here and try to act like, you know, well, this ain't really the norm. It's the norm. It's so the norm. Her desire is going to be the husband. Well, let's look at this term desire, right? Because I'm going to tell you too, brothers, if your wife desires ain't to you, you got a problem. You got a problem, and that's for real. And I'm going to tell you flat out, if her desires ain't towards you, you got problems. It says this, desires to wish or long for or want. If she don't want you, you already know. She ain't desiring you, you already know. Like I said, if she ain't desiring you, you got problems. And you got the kind of problems that most men don't want. Chances are you got problems that 99.9% of the men on the planet don't even want to deal with. If her desires ain't towards you, you got problems, bro. Says this. It says, to want to have sex with, she want to have sex with you. You got a wife and she don't want to have sex with you. Y'all have sex once a month. Call that healthy? Seriously, call that healthy. Okay. He said her sexual appetite would be toward you. Yep. Let's look at it. Well, let's see if that's the case. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 9. And it says this. God asked a question, right? He asked Abraham a question. He said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? Like he didn't know. But we had to notice what he had written so that we would take note of this. And he said, behold, in the tent. So wait a minute. The Lord had this written because he knew that we were going to read this. So if your husband is over with his friends, the last thing need to be seen is you. Unless you hoeing or trying to be a distraction before God, especially if you know this stuff. If you know this, God help you. God bless you. But this is that conversation. He had this written so that women would know not to be around their husbands. But this is a spirit. This is a devil, right? It's called lasciviousness and lust. Because now women ain't wearing no clothes. Now they wearing spandexes. They ain't got no underwear on. They can legally walk around the crib with their no clothes on in front of other men. Knowing they watching. As soon as her husband get up, and there she go bending over. And I'm not saying this because I seen my wife do it. I'm saying this because I seen other men's wives do that to me. I'm a witness. No, I'm not a big fan of the spandex pants. I mean, it's a cheap book. You know, I mean, it's a real cheap book. You know, it ain't like, you know, you're going to be like, oh, man, I think I'm going to look at the ground. You know, that ain't going to happen. That ain't even realistic. You know, ain't no Norbits around here, you know. That's just not realistic. But truth be told, to get carried away with it is another conversation. So he said, where is Sarah thy wife? He said, behold, in the tent, right? And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. So she behind the Lord Abraham and two angels. Well, this is Melchizedek, man. This he the one that met him at when he saved Lot. This is the same dude. So to him, this is Melchizedek. To me, this is Melchizedek. That's it. Ain't nobody else. Because there isn't anybody else. Melchizedek is without lineage or descent, anything. He don't have a mother or father. Make him God. This is Melchizedek. So anyway, it says this. So he's sitting there with Melchizedek, and Melchizedek just told him, man, yo, Sarah's going to have a child. And she like way up in her numbers, man. She like, she pushing triple digits at this point. And she stopped having menstruals a long time ago. God knows, right? So she probably ain't passed the egg in a long time. So it says this. So he said, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, minstrels. And then verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. Her desires were to her husband, even here in her 90s. Her desires was to her husband, it wasn't to nobody else. The last thing that came to her mind is that she was going to have a child or have sex with anybody but her husband. See that? Shall I have pleasure of my husband? Maybe they got to the point they got old and just turned into friends. You know, who knows? Like, obviously, they were kicking it together because she was at his tent. You know, but maybe just because they got older and they just stopped doing the nasty, you know. So it ain't said they couldn't did it, because obviously they could do it, because the Lord said, you're going to do it. And she's going to do it with you. And you're going to ejaculate, and she's going to receive your manliness. And she's going to have a son. She's going to receive a son out of there. So her desires were to her husband. We see that clearly, plainly. And she didn't say to God, oh, no, you didn't. I ain't want no baby at this time in my life. Shoot, I'm already old. Who going to take care of? None of that nonsense. Not word for word. In fact, she did go word for word. Let's show how God operate with this. When you start dealing with a woman word for word, because a woman to go with you word for word, right, to justify herself. So you got to cut that nonsense off, right? She don't know she's in the flesh, and she don't know that Genesis 3:16 just kicked in. You should, because you was a Hebrew Israelite and God taught you, or he's teaching you now. So you should know what to do. And it says this. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, surely I would bear a child which I am old. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me God to reveal your wife's thoughts? They could be good or evil. She could be thinking she can be on some real folly, and God have been told you already the folly that she's about to get into. We're not giving the God of Israel enough credit for the creation. We are not. So right here, we can see that God will reveal your wife's thoughts. Now, I ain't talking about you crazy Hebrews out there jealous over your wife over everything. Man, where you get them shoes from? What you going to do with them shoes? Where you going with them shoes? I'm going to church with them. No, you're not. I know what you finna do with them shoes. You about to get ready to run the bricks with them shoes. And now, dude, you crazy. You just nuts. You got issues, partner. I can't say I can have a conversation between you and your wife, but you on some bananas. That's bananas. Unless you saw your wife get dressed up and go meet another man, then I guess you would have that conversation. Clothes. Well, act like she's going to work. Wait a minute. she wear work clothes to work, but this particular day, she want to look special. Where you going, work? What? Why you dressed up like that? What's wrong with what I got on? You know, you too dressy, baby. We're going to work. What you plan on doing? See? God will reveal to you what's in her mind. He still do. Even to this day, he still do. God said, I'm God, and I change not. So he still do this. Whether you want to believe it or not, he still do. All right. So where am I? He said, okay. Yeah, so he said, is anything too hard for God? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the man rose up thence and looked toward Sodom. See, end of it. That's how you deal with that. Just leave. Yep, just be out. Got to go back and forth. She already knows she wrong. She knows she wrong. If she got any sense, unless she's some kind of reprobate or some mentally ill person, some schizophrenic person with multiple personalities, and she's not tapped into reality because this person in her mind is here now or whatever. But no. For the most part, she know. She know exactly what she's saying and doing. Because in order to do it, and the mission is complete, you have to be in agreement. So there's no excuse. Well, thanks to Jesus, we ain't stoning nobody, but there's still no excuses. Ain't no more excuse for that than me getting caught with another man's wife. What am I going to say? Oh, man, she came at me, you know, and most dudes will go for it. You know, no. Mm-mm. No, there's no excuses. None. There is no excuses for this. Her desires is to her husband. So let's get back to that. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. And what else it says? 3 and 16. And it says this. It says, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception, and thy sorrows shall I bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Well, let's see what this rule thing is. You know, nobody want to be ruled, you know. I don't know where that, you know, we got that thing from, man. Because it's a funny thing when we look at this word, because in our community, we be lying our asses off, man. I mean, seriously, we be really lying. Like, we don't want nothing to do with none of these politicians. And the minute one will come walking down the street, we walk out there to meet them. Case in point. Anyway, rule. Governing power or its possessions or use of authority, the duration of such power, the authority of prescribed directions for conduct, especially for one's regulations, governing procedures in a legislative body, or a regulation observed by the players in a game sport context. In other words, this man is going to lay down the rules and the wife is going to enforce them. And if they're not enforced, and Pookie and little Ricky and little Shay Shay is cutting up, and Mom said, hold that thought. And she get Pops on the phone all of a sudden. Like, when he said, all eyes on me, well, all eyes on her. She really called him? And then he gets everybody on the phone and says, put me on speaker. And everybody know what this conversation is going to lead to. If you got one of them, James Devin's father, JJ was like 40 years old, him and Michael and Thelma still getting whoopings. Right. Set the rules. What do you mean? Well, we keep the Sabbath. I need you to keep the Sabbath with me. I need you to keep the children on point. Such and such. We don't eat pork. I don't need you to bring pork in the house, and we're not buying any. We don't eat shrimp. We don't need you to buy none. Don't bring any in the house. Just as that thing. Or, I don't believe in that God you serve. Whatever you call yourself serving, you know. Who told you were serving God? Just yesterday you was out there shooting pool with them niggas smoking and all that. Okay. Like I said, her desires is going to be to you. Right? Right. Okay. Let's look at this a little further. So now we got sorrow in the picture, right? Sorrow. So she can bring sorrow, right? Because it's in here, so if it's in her, she can bring it. So let's see. No, that's not it. Let's just do this then. Well, obviously I'm not spelling that right. So, let's do this. And I know it's a Proverbs, so let's go to Proverbs and it said a virtuous, Proverbs 12 and 4, it said a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh a shame is rottenness to his bones. So, a woman can be this. If her desires is to her husband, she isn't in this light. She isn't this person. You see? If her desires is to her husband, she would be a crown to her husband, not rottenness. You see? This is that thing. So where did she just come from? When you think about this, where did she just come from? I mean, she didn't just pop on the scene. She came out of Genesis chapter 3 and 16. That's where she came from. This woman right here, this rottenness. She came out of Genesis 3:16. And it's sad because, well, it is. It's just sad. Let's see. just look at this a little further. I want to go into, I think it's Proverbs chapter 14 and 1, if I'm not mistaken. Proverbs 14 and 1, it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. So where did that come from? That's not Genesis 3 and 18. That's Genesis. That's not Genesis 2 and 18. This is Genesis 3 and 16. Where did she come from? She came out of Genesis chapter 3 and 16. She is here. That's her. She's the one that got sorrow in her heart. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish woman plucketh it. That's devils, man. Those are devils. He's saying she's foolish. That's cruel. She's not a fool. She is foolish. Cruel. She got more than one devil. And her witness is that she tear down her own crib. That's her witness. Her witness is that her desire isn't to her husband. Her desire is to destroy whatever her husband has put together. And pride, right? And pride. Because remember now, pride snuck in. Pride creeped in under self-pity. Right? So this woman came from Genesis chapter 3, 16. Let's stop here. So now we're finna get into some meat. I think we should stop here. Because where we're going here is definitely Genesis chapter 3, 16. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here, at the Sounds of Living Waters, brothers and sisters, please, please read your Bibles.
Sounds of the Living Waters. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Waters. Sounds of the Living Waters. Sounds of the Living Waters. Radio show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of a living water. Sounds of a living Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.